I'm going to be reading Matthew 28, 1 through 10. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to view the tomb. There was a violent earthquake because the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and approached the tomb. He rolled back the stone and was sitting on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so shaken by the fear of him that they became like dead men. The angel told the women, "Don't be afraid, because I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead, and indeed is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Listen, I have told you." So, departing quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, they ran to tell his disciples the news. That just then, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." They came up to him, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus told them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there."
It took place at the break of dawn. Someone who had been grieving traveled to the place where surely the body would be laying. And at that time, when the person approached, what they found stunned them and shocked them. King Darius declared to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve, continually been able to deliver you from the lions?" See, this isn't the first time that death has been defeated by our God. And in that place where surely a dead body lay, that day a foreign king found the power of Yahweh that saves people from death. And Daniel cried out, "O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me." They stood at the edge of a body of water. They had left the place of their slavery with the understanding that they had been set free, but it didn't look that way in the moment. As they stood at the edge of the water and looked out across it, there was no way for them to travel. And yet the sound of the army coming up behind them must have been deafening. Thousands of them on the pursuit. The Egyptians were there, and there was no way to go. As good as dead. But what does God do to those who are as good as dead? He saves them and gives them life. And a pillar of fire, it says, came down, the cloud and fire, and separated death from life. And he protected them all through the night. This is not the first time that God has done this. The fire was so hot, the scriptures say, that those who carried the bound men and put them in the furnace died from the heat of the flames. They had bound the men as tight as they could. And as they were tossed in, all of a sudden they're walking around as if they've been set free. And the king says, How many did we send into the fire? We sent three. Then why do I see a fourth? One shining like the Son of Man. This is not the first time that our God has rescued someone out of the clutches of death. This is what he does. They stood on the edge of the promised land and they looked in. They were like grasshoppers in the sight of these people. And this city was well known for its walls, impenetrable. And the people were locked inside, but the people were afraid. And then Joshua, he saw the angel of the army of the Lord with a sword drawn. And he said, "Let's go. Around the city you will go. Around the city you will go." And Joshua was faithful to the words of the Lord. And as they passed that seventh time and they stopped, the priests of God, the priests who led the teaching and the worship and the singing, took their musical instruments. And with the power of the musical instruments, God brought down the walls of Jericho, a mighty shout from the people, and they fell, and the people went straight in. God's people may have been like grasshoppers in the sight of giants, but that day death did not win. They marched right through. Do you understand? He was a kid. He was a boy. He watched sheep. A shepherd, this is what he did. But in the face of death, in the face of the fire that he would face, in the face of a giant, he did not have to be afraid. Not because he had been honing in his skills with a sling and a rock for years. That wasn't the point. What did he say? The Lord God is going to give the victory. He will defeat the giant. All David had to do was be faithful with the task given to him. And the giant fell. God gave them the victory. This was death standing in front of them. And yet they marched right through. The giant fell down. That story has been remembered for thousands of years. This is what he does. So that day, at the break of dawn, Jesus' worshipers, his followers, these ladies who had been with him for years and years, went to the tomb, a place where surely a dead body was laying. They'd watched their king die on a Roman cross. There was no way. These walls aren't going to fall. This sea is not going to split. These lions are just too powerful. They watched Jesus die. And as they go to the tomb with their spices, with their oils, what were they expecting? Were they simply going to mourn? There was a stone in the way. They weren't going to get through it. There were guards that were posted, the scriptures tell us. They weren't going to have access. And yet they went. Even though all hope was lost, they went. Mary and Mary went to go see the tomb. And behold, when they showed up, it happened again. Friends, today, thousands of years later, we walk with the God who has done this multiple times. He's the one that shows up in the darkness in the form of powerful, marvelous light. He is the one that the earth shakes and quembles when his presence comes down. Do you remember in Exodus? He landed on the mountain of Sinai, and as he landed on it, on Mount Horeb, it says that the earth shook. It quaked. As the ladies approach the tomb, the angel comes down, and there is an earthquake at the tomb. The presence of God has descended one more time. Something divine from heaven has come down and touched earth. An angel of the Lord descended and came and rolled back the stone. His appearance was like lightning, like staring at lightning. At the transfiguration, the disciples who had the privilege to ascend the mountain with Jesus, they saw Jesus transformed right in front of their eyes into this glorious form. And as they watched Jesus transform, we read this story earlier in Matthew this year. It says Jesus was shining. So they're encountering the divine. John says in Revelation chapter 1 that when he sees Jesus in his vision, he is shining like fire. He's shining. Daniel chapter 7, when the Ancient of Days descended from heaven in his vision and destroyed the different empires of the earth and set up his kingdom like a mountain that would never end. The Ancient of Days descended and was shining. Watch for the patterns and symbols as these ladies show up. The earth is quaking like the presence of God is there. There is a figure who is shining like fire and lightning, like the presence of God is there. And it says, for fear of him, the angel of the Lord, the guards trembled and became like dead men. Like the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration, they fall down to the ground. This time, these guards were terrified. And most likely, their falling to the ground is fainting. It is too much for them to handle, and down they go. There's something about the human encountering the divine. Terrifying. Terrifying. And yet, they won't be the only ones who are brought low in this story. Though they are brought low out of terrified fear, the ladies will be brought low out of a posture of worship. This is not the first time that this has happened, friends. This isn't the first time. The angel said to the women, this is verse 5, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Friends, this story is a story that many of us have heard hundreds of times. And until the Lord Jesus comes back, we will read it hundreds more. But this story is the story of death being defeated by life. And we need to sit with it properly and appreciate this changed everything. Like finding Daniel alive, like the water opening up, like the walls falling down, like the giant hitting his face. This changed everything. Because if their king was more powerful than even death itself, then what did Satan have over him to possibly bring him down? See, the introduction to sin into the human world is what bound us, chained us. It was the ultimate enemy that we could not defeat. Who could beat death? With the faith and power that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had, with the incredible faith of David and Daniel, those who had walked before them, death still came and claimed them. For no one was powerful enough to walk through death. And yet the tomb is empty. Satan couldn't do it. The water wasn't deep enough and the walls weren't thick enough. Satan couldn't do it. He wasn't strong enough. So why does that get us fired up? Why is that we're singing songs at the top of our lungs? Because today, friends, we face an enemy who's like a roaring lion, one who's walking around prowling, looking for people to devour. Today, there are those struggling with hope, walking through a path, a time of darkness. Today, in the brokenness of our lives and in the brokenness of this world, we sing these songs. And yet, the struggle to hold on to hope is a constant battle for some of us. Because life is not easy and it's filled with pain. We have to acknowledge that. In the midst of singing songs of victory, some of us sit here carrying the weight of the world, feeling like we're chained by darkness and sin. Maybe it doesn't feel like death has finally been defeated, but it has. The resurrection life of Jesus is something that you and I, our grandparents and our grandchildren one day have the opportunity to walk in and to experience. And some of us have had that transformation where we are recreated by the Spirit of God. This story changes everything, but it's not the first time that God has walked right through death. This is what he does. The angel says, he's not here, he is risen. Come and see the place where he lay. And then go quickly. Go tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. And behold, he's going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See? I've told you. It's time to go spread the word. When they crossed the other side of the Red Sea, they sang a song. When Daniel came out of the den, Darius declared that the whole empire was going to worship God. What is the response to finding out that God has defeated the enemy? These ladies need to go tell Jesus' closest followers, go let them know. Everything has changed. It'll never be the same anymore. He's going to meet you the place he said, the mountain. Go to Galilee. You will meet him there. He will reveal himself to you. So it says that they departed quickly from the tomb. They departed, verse 8, with fear and great joy. And they ran to tell his disciples. Do you notice that fear and joy? There's a reverence and an awe to what just took place in front of them. And yet there's a joy that is springing up inside of them. It's both at the same time. What just happened? And also, I can't believe what just happened. And off they go. But maybe even more surprising than hearing the voice of an angel is what they hear next. Because it tells us they saw him. Behold, Jesus met them and he said, greetings. Hi. What's their response? Down to the ground they go. He's there. It's him. They came up and they took a hold of his feet. So it means they're flat on the ground and they're worshiping him. Praise God. Our king is back. Do you understand? A king that can lead his people to victory in battle is one thing. A king that cannot die, and he's ours. He's our king. They worshiped him. They worshiped him. Remember that song, I Can Only Imagine? Can you imagine encountering Jesus, falling down to the ground, holding on to his feet, and just worshiping, my king, my king. But to worship that way, friends, requires us to understand the depths of our hopelessness. Have you wrestled with the depth of hopelessness? Someone to thank him in that much, to celebrate in that much, has to recognize how hopeless they are without him. Oh, what a crafty and tricky thing Satan can get us with when he finds the foothold in our lives of us not recognizing the darkness of this current situation. When our lives seem all but fine, then what celebration is there when Jesus appears? Yeah, it's great that he's here, but I was doing okay without him. No, these ladies are celebrating as if there was no hope without him. Someone who's wrestled with their sin, wrestled with darkness, walked through the valley of the shadow of death. Someone who knows that separation from God was what was coming for all of us. Then encountering the risen Lord. Someone who just cries out, thank you, thank you, thank you. You ever met someone who just found Jesus? and they can't wipe that weird smile off their face. They get it. They get it. And they look at us as people who followed Jesus a long time and go, why are you so grumpy? Why aren't you happier? Don't you get it? What gives? I've used this illustration before, this idea before, but boy, it sits with me. I don't appreciate the lifeguard at the pool until what? The moment that he pulls you out of the water because you were struggling. It's just a person over there. They're not that important. I don't need them. They just sit and they just watch. It's great that they're there. But they have none of my attention or focus. But boy, you can imagine in a scenario where you're in trouble, they are the only person in the room you are looking for. And when that hand reaches down and grabs yours and pulls you back up, there might just be a big hug coming for that person. Jesus has done that. He has rescued us, friends. That's why we sing and shout. That's why the songs are loud. That's why this is happening. Greetings, he says. Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Interesting that he says it that way, because he's going to appear to them in the upper room. He's going to go through the locked door. They're going to see him. Thomas is going to see his hands, his feet, his side. And yet there's something about these words, Galilee. When I see them back there, something's going to happen. And just a few verses later, verse 16 of this same chapter, they're back in Galilee. And Matthew is jumping ahead in the story because some of this takes place in Jerusalem, but now they're back home. And verse 16 says, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. They met him on the mountain. We don't know what mountain it is. Was it the mountain that he had revealed his glory to them before? Was it the mountain that he ascended with them and then they got to see a glimpse of his glorious body? We don't know, but on this mountaintop, they saw Jesus. Just as God had first revealed himself to his people on a mountaintop, God calls them back up again. And on that mountaintop, God made a covenant promise with them. Back in the great Exodus out of Egypt, that if they walked with him, he would be their God and they would be his people. Now God is standing on a mountain with them and he sends them out with a new promise, a new covenant. This time it's in his blood that they've been set free forever. Those who repent, confess their sin, are transformed in new life and walk with him. You see, Jesus is the prophet, the priest, and the king. He is the one who speaks God's words, and it comes to pass. He said he would die and be resurrected on the third day. He is the great prophet that they were waiting for. Hebrews tells us, we read the New Testament, this idea of him being the great high priest. He brought the great offering that was required for the covering of sin, and he offered it one time, once and for all, to cover sin forever. The prophet they had been waiting for, the high priest who reigns forever, and the king. A king who leads his people to victory over the enemy. Jesus was all of it. All of it. And he extends that to us. And that's what I want us to reflect on and think about. He extends that to us, that resurrection life. When you read in Romans, it says, chapter 6, verse 3, do you not know that all of us who've been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. We were buried. We were buried. Therefore, with him by baptism into his death. Why? In order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. The old me, the old you, is gone. It's gone. Sin used to be our slave master. It had us in chains. No longer, friends. Gone. If we've been united with him in a death like his, we shall surely be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him. In order, why? That the body of sin might be brought to nothing. The enemy defeated, he's saying, brought to nothing. We would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. And if we've died with Christ, we believe that we lived with him. That, friends, is the verse that we end on. If we've died with him, we live with him. Yeah, I make mistakes. And I still sin from time to time. But the old me that chased after sin, that it controlled my life and I craved it all day long, it's dead. It's dead. Now when I wake up in the morning and I walk in this new life, I'm pursuing him. But I still sin. I still stumble. I still get cranky. I still do these things. But my heart says, don't do it. It says, confess to somebody. Repent. It says, this is not what is best for you and it's not what you want. Do you see? It's a new master. It's a new life. And when it starts to feel hopeless, when it starts to feel like it's never going to get better, when it starts to feel like death is truly won, we turn back to stories like the empty tomb, and we remember the promises of God that one day we will walk with him forever as we are filled by him now, friends. If you are walking in the dark place right now, if the weight of life is crushing on you, if it feels like you are trapped in the den of lions or you are up against the body of water with the enemy's army behind you, whether it's your family or your friends or your health, whether something in your life is crushing you and you don't understand how you're supposed to have this positive, optimistic attitude on a day like today, when your life is as broken and filled with pain as it is on a day like today, we trust in the one who gives resurrection life to walk us through the valley of the shadow of death and to be near to us. And maybe God felt far away on the moment they stood at the Red Sea and the Egyptian army came up behind them. Maybe God felt far away when Daniel was being lowered into the den. Maybe. Maybe God felt far away, but he wasn't. He was right there with resurrection power, because this is what he does. On this, our Easter Sunday, we're going to celebrate communion together. And as those who are going to help pass out the elements as they come forward right now, friends, we are celebrating. We are celebrating what Jesus has done for us. And as we hold these elements in our hands, we are holding symbols of the great victory. And I want you, with confidence, as you pray and as you partake of the elements, I want you to remember that even if you are going through a valley right now, if it does feel crushing, this is the symbol, this is it, that God has done this before and he'll do it again. This is what he does. So friends, walk in hope and confidence. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. Would you bow with me as we pray and thank God for the life that he gives us through his broken body on the cross? Our Father who is in heaven, may your name forever be recognized as holy. Today on this Easter Sunday, as we bow our heads before you as one family, we thank you for your broken body on the cross. You gave the offering that we could not give. And now there has been a Passover. Death cannot touch us. You have won. Lord Jesus, for our family, all of us, as we prepare to take this meal together, may you strengthen us for the days to come, the days when heartbreak and hardship come. May we walk in confidence, knowing, Lord Jesus, that our sin is paid for, the debt is covered. We walk in brand new life. Thanks be to God who gives us his Spirit. Thank you for your broken body on the cross. Lord Jesus, would you bless us as a family as we pass out this bread and as we remember your sacrifice for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This bread is gluten-free for any of you who need that, who need to know that. We're going to have the different ushers here pass out the bread. And then once everyone has it and they've come back to the front, we're going to partake of it all together at the end.